This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
Usually I would use this first sermon in a congregation to talk a little bit about the process of the interim time, what we hope to do, what's sort of the things to expect. But I'm going to skip that this time. We'll cover that next week. Next week is Transfiguration Sunday, and that will be a good time to sort of delve into some of those important issues. But today we are looking at Luke chapter 6, reading from verses 27 through 38. Now, this is part of Luke's Sermon on the Plain. If you remember, Matthew has the Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew is writing to primarily a Jewish constituency. They have the image of Moses going up the mountain, receiving the law from God and bringing it to the people. So Matthew wants his readership to have that relationship between Moses and Jesus in their mind, that Jesus is a law giver. Also, Jewish teachers, rabbis, when they taught, they typically sat. And it's easier to teach people if you're sitting, if you are higher up than they are. Right? So you sit on the side of the mountain, your disciples, your students sit at your feet around you. Luke, apparently, is writing to a predominantly Gentile, Greek-oriented audience, his readership, and Greek philosophers, when they taught, they stood. They stood in a level place. So Plato, famously, his academy was a grove of trees outside of the town. The Stoics, they began with one person teaching in the stoa, which is a columned portico where everything would have been level. So Jesus has come down the mountain. He is on the plain, on this level place. Just one more note on the scripture. In verse 30, we read, "Give to everyone who begs from you." The Greek word is ask, and it depends on context for its nuance. Is it ask? Is it beg? Is it demand? You have to rely on the context for that. I think in this instance, you could make a good argument that it should be translated demand. Give to everyone who demands from you. But our NRSV has gone with begs, and so that is what I am going to read now. And I invite you, if you will, to follow along with me as we listen to the Word of God as it comes to us from Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27. "But I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, "I say to you that listen," you're listening, not just letting it one ear out the other, "I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. My sisters and brothers, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. I invite you, if you will, to join us in our hymn number 386, O Four World. So did you watch much of the Olympics these last 2 weeks? You got to see some of that, did you? I always like the Olympics. You know, it seems like they always have something for everybody at the Olympics. And boy, this sanctuary is wide. My last church was one of those long, narrow ones where you could see everybody all at once. This is a little confusing. We'll get used to it. The Olympics. I certainly enjoyed what I was able to see of them. But there was something this year that I know it's always been there, but for some reason I really noticed it this year. And that was all the rules. You ever notice how many rules there are at the Olympics? I mean, if you're playing hockey, you can't just pick the puck up and toss it into the net. You got to use that stick thing. I mean, what's with this, huh? That's part of the rules, I guess. If you're skiing and you ski inside this line, you're good. If you ski outside of this line, you've broken a rule. You can have these kinds of drugs in your system, but not those kinds of drugs in your system. We have these rules. And they matter, don't they? And there are penalties for breaking the rules. If you watched the Super Bowl last Sunday, you remember after Cincinnati scored their first touchdown? Remember what happened? This character who's not in uniform comes running out onto the field and starts celebrating with the team. You can't do that. It's against the rules. And Cincinnati was penalized for it. Rules are a part of living, aren't they? We have rules in sports. We have rules in business. Pay your taxes on time. Driving down the road, stay on this side, not that side. We have rules if you are manufacturing a new product. All sorts of rules and regulations you have to follow. We even have rules for how we treat other people, don't we? I mean, these rules, They're not often written down. They tend to be more informal, but they're real nevertheless. And we are expected to know them and to follow them. Shake hands when you meet somebody for the first time. Be polite to strangers. Don't trust those people who wear those kinds of clothes, or who have those kinds of tattoos, or who have those kinds of body piercings, or who vote differently than we do. We have these rules, and we follow them. And so then, given our predilection for rules and their importance, it would be natural for us to think that in our scripture lesson this morning, Jesus is giving us rules. It would be natural for us to think that Jesus is giving us more rules to follow. And if we can fill in the box, if we can check it off, then we're right with God. We haven't broken any rules. So, you know, if we pray for our enemies, if we bless those who curse us, if we give generously to those who ask from us, if we do all these things, then we're good, aren't we? Don't throw the puck into the net. Pay your taxes on time. Drive on the right side of the road. Pray, bless, and give. We've got it. Those are the rules. The problem is, I don't think Jesus is giving us rules. I don't think Jesus is giving us rules for living. I think what Jesus is doing is Jesus is describing a lifestyle. Jesus is describing a way of living. Jesus is showing us the kind of life, the kind of lifestyle that God wants us to live. And it's, for want of a better term, what I call the lifestyle of expansive grace. Grace that is expansive. Grace that is constantly expanding outwards. Grace that is moving on and on and on. Because grace, of course, expansive grace, of course, is by its very definition something that is not constrained, that is not held back or shackled in some way, right? Expansive grace is not something we reserve just for our family and our closest friends. Expansive grace is not something that is meant for only our own denomination or our church. Expansive grace is not something that we separate out and parcel out and ration out to those who agree with us about things like immigration or Ukraine or arms control or climate change or political affiliation. Expansive grace is for everybody. That's Jesus' point. Expansive grace is for everybody, even those who cheat us at our business. Expansive grace is for everybody, even those who betray our most intimate relationships. Expansive grace is for everybody, even for those who neglect us when they should be caring for us, and those who stab us in the back when we are depending on them to watch out for us. Expansive grace is for everyone. You see, Jesus is not giving us specific rules that we have to follow, 1, 2, 3, where we fill in the box and check it off. What Jesus is doing is describing a 24/7, 365 way of behavior, a lifestyle of expansive grace. Does that sound hard to you? That sound hard to you? Sounds hard to me. Oh my gosh. What? You want me to do what? How often? What? In fact, it sounds so hard that do I really want to try this or not? Just give it up as a bad job, huh? Well, I tell you what, before we give up on a lifestyle of expansive grace, before we give up on a lifestyle of expansive grace and settle for just filling in the boxes, let's remember this, okay? Let's remember two things. First of all, the good news of God, and remember with God, there's always good news. The good news of God is we are not doing this alone. We are not doing this by ourselves. God is with us. The power of God is with us. Resurrection power, the power that raises a body from the dead, that power is with us, helping us live this life of expansive grace. We are not alone. God and God's power is with us. And the second thing to remember is that this is the way that God loves us. This is the way that God loves us, isn't it? God loves us with expansive love. God loves us with expansive love. God loves us graciously, when we hurt God by how we treat the impoverished and the powerless. God gives to us generously, not stingily, but generously. God gives to us generously when we ask God to forgive our sins. Think about it. The prayer of confession, the assurance of hope and pardon. We don't say, blessed are you, 50% of your sins are forgiven. No, it's all our sins are forgiven. God is good to us. God is generous to us. God is caring to us when we betray God by how we treat those we don't like, or those we don't understand. Beloved, this is the good news of God, that God loves us with an expansive grace. The way that Jesus calls us to treat others, this is how God treats us, because this is how much God loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Our gracious God, on this bright sunny day that you have given to us, we remember that there are many who are overwhelmed by the difficulties of this life. There are many whose homes are cold and whose hearts are cold and whose relationships are dripping with ice. We pray, Lord, that by your grace and by our living, we will be a force of warmth in their world. On this day, we remember that there are many who are homeless, both physically unhoused and those who feel they have no place where they are safe. no place where they can truly feel safe, peace among friends and family. We pray for the many people in the world today who live as refugees. We hold up the trouble spots in our world, those places where tension is at the breaking point. We especially pray for the people of Ukraine and for our international leaders, that cool, calm heads will prevail and that your peace will rule all lands. And so, Lord, we lift up ourselves. We lift up this wonderful congregation. We lift up this joyful time of interim ministry. And we pray, Lord, that your love will never leave us and that our love will never leave you. And we pray all this in the name of the one who by his living, by his dying, by his resurrection, who taught us indeed what expansive love and grace are. Jesus the Christ, our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.